God's good, isn't He? Amen. And I know that God's got a plan for our lives, and He's got good things for us to do. And we're just getting started. You know, think about it. And you know, I've lived more years than I'm going to live, unless you know I live to 130 or something like that, which I don't plan on doing. But I just know that the future's ahead of us, right? Sometimes I think that we get stuck sometimes in our thinking and, well, you know, I'm too this or I'm too that. But God wants us to know that as long as we're breathing, that we have an opportunity to be used by Him for His glory. Amen? That's really good. Last week we talked about love, and this is a little series, a mini series that I'm doing on love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And we've said that if we want to be a church where people come and they get their needs met, we have to be a church of love. We have to learn how to accept people even when they're different from us. And then thirdly, we need to walk in forgiveness. And sometimes that's not easy. But when we can see how much that God loves us, how much that God has accepted us, and how much God has forgiven us, it puts it in a whole different light. And just a caveat to that, it's His love in us. It's His ability, His nature in us that allows us to do that. And it's not that we can't do it, but oftentimes we have to renew our minds to get to the place where we know that His Spirit is working in us and change us from the inside out so that all of these things can be growing in us and not be stagnant. But turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to talk tonight about acceptance. Acceptance. There's people all over the world that are into crazy things just because they want to be accepted. And even in our society and school, I mean, growing up in school, you always want to be one of the cool kids. You want to be part of the clique. You wanted to, you know, just look cool and all that stuff. Why? Because you wanted to be accepted by those that you thought were cool. It's really funny because I graduated from high school and I wasn't in the in crowd in high school. Hard to believe, but I wasn't. And yet, years later, I got to know some of those people, and I thought, what in the world was I worried about them for? Right? Not saying that I'm better than them, but I'm at least as good, right? And so, but sometimes you do crazy things just to be accepted. You go out of your moral character to be accepted. You know, the peer pressure, the societal pressure. It's like, no, we got to come back to the root of what God has done for us and understand that if He's accepted me, I don't have to please anybody else. I don't have to fit into somebody else's mold. I just need to be about His business, being a kingdom business and doing what He wants me to do. But in Ephesians chapter 1, and if you were with me a few months ago, we decided to teach the whole book of Ephesians, and it took me probably 6 months to get through just because there's so much in here. And we can just take this apart. But I want to look at something specifically, but we're going to start out in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Now, I'm not a math major, but every means all, doesn't it? I'm not even an English major, but every means all. So if we have every one, then what are we looking for? What we're looking for is something that we already have. But it's by faith that we need to come to the place where we accept it and begin to walk in it. So when we feel like we're lacking, because sometimes you go, well, if I just prayed more, if I was just this or I was just that, you need to tell yourself, you know what? I'm already blessed by God. And I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. I'm a blessed child. See, the blessing of God is on us. So let's go on. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't understand all this. I can't wrap my pea brain around it. But God knew the beginning from the end, because He's not in time. But He knew decisions that would be made and all of that. So He created Adam, but He knew Adam would fall. And before the foundation of the world, He had planned to redeem man, because He knew man was going to fall. But watch this. But before the world was, He was thinking of you. Before the world was, He knew that you'd be at a place where you'd give Jesus your heart and you'd make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'd live as a Christian. And in before the foundation of the world, He looked down through time and said, there He is. There she is. And He chose us in Him, having predestined us to adoptions as Son by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. As we've talked about before, adoption is really an interesting thing. I'm going to tell this story again, even though I've told it over and over again. This little boy, and I'm going to name him, it's not his name, but his name was Timmy. And Timmy was adopted into a family. Well, Timmy had some other siblings that were naturally born children, and one of them was little Johnny. And they were fighting at the dinner table or whatever, so little Johnny goes to Timmy, well, you were just adopted. And it didn't bother Timmy at all. Timmy turned and looked at him and said, well, Mom and Dad had you. They wanted me. Think about that for just a minute. We've been adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High because He wanted you. Whew, glory to God. God wanted me. And if you're looking through the world and through at God through the eyelids that have been rejected or torn apart that way, sometimes how is that possible? Does God really know me and He still wants me? The answer is absolutely yes. So cool. Let's go on. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In other words, this is showing off His grace. You show off God's grace. He loves you so much, and He paid such a price for you, but that you're accepted in the Beloved. When I read this many years ago, I went, accepted in the Beloved. What does that mean? Well, the Beloved, obviously, are ones that people love, right? So God loves me, but I'm accepted into that inner circle. Now, oftentimes, if you want to become in a sorority, if you want to become part of a club, or if you want to, there's initiation rites and there's things that you have to do. Even like if you wanted to become a CPA, you'd have to go to school to learn how to do that, but then you'd have to take tests and go through all these hoops to get into the circle of being a CPA. Now, I want you to know that it's absolutely true that God has done all of the hoops so that you could be accepted into the inner circle of His Beloved. Oh, glory to God. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. We sing a song, I'm accepted because you were condemned. I'm alive and well because of the life that He's given to me. I'm accepted. So oftentimes, and this is what happened. I was talking with a brother just the other day, talking about when the old acquaintance of depression comes. You know, because things happen in life and certain things trigger certain things. I know people that every January, it's like there's a fog that comes over them because of traumatic instances that have happened in January or something. They may not even know why it is, but it's there. And so it's almost like they can, you know, set their calendar to it. Well, I need to get to the doctor to get some depression pills because in January I'm going to go through depression. And I'm telling you, the answer to that is finding out and understanding that I've been accepted in the Beloved. But what you have to do is you renew your mind to it, you renew your thoughts to it, and then you make it a part of who you are. But I've found that renewing your mind and putting yourself in a position where God can really begin to translate and transfer and transcend who you are and make you into His image is not an instant thing. I wish it was. I wish you could come and lay hands on me and then all of this would just be second nature to me. But it's not. The process is, as it says in Romans chapter 12, that we have to renew our mind so that we know what is the good and the perfect will of God. And how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by studying, by looking, by meditating on verses like this and say, wait a minute. The enemy's telling me how I was rejected by my dad. The enemy was telling me how I was rejected by the teacher. You know, that girl in high school that rejected me and made me look like a fool. All of that rejection, I've got to cast off by saying, no, wait a minute. If God accepts me, their rejection means nothing. And God has accepted me in His Beloved. I like that so much. It's just the circle of you know, in Proverbs it talks about, and even Jesus made a quote like, he said, don't rush to the front of the head of the church and sit in a seat that you may not be qualified for. Rather sit in the back and wait for the person that's in charge to invite you up rather than suffering the embarrassment. And this is a big paraphrase. Suffering the embarrassment of having the ushers come and say, oh, you're in the wrong seat. And the whole church watching you ushered to the back. But in God's house and in God's room, there are no favorites. So we're all His Beloved. We all can come sit right at His feet because He loves us and He's accepted us. Isn't that exciting? Again, let me read that again. And think about this and just, I think it's there's a term in the Old Testament when we're talking about the Psalms, and all through the Psalms, every once in a while you see Salah. And what that means is stop, think, ponder, and just, and that's what we need to do with the Word of God here. We need to come and we go, wait a minute, I've really been accepted in the Beloved? The answer is absolutely. God loves you. You don't have to look at yourself, and when you read verses about what it means to be beloved or how God looks at His Beloved, you can say, oh, that's me. That's me tonight. That's me. So let's look at a couple of those. Go to Psalms. Actually, go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah and the 13th chapter. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. And we're going to go to verse 26. Nehemiah 13 and 26. And listen to this verse because it's really, really something. It said, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among the nations there was no king like him who is beloved of his God, and God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused him to even sin. But watch this. Even though Solomon was flawed, like we all are, the Bible here says that he was beloved by God. God favored him. God gave him wealth, gave him all kinds of things because He loved him, even though he was messed up. Now, all of us can look at ourselves in our imperfection and say, how could God love this? And my actions keep me outside of the realm of being accepted. God certainly couldn't accept me. God certainly couldn't forgive me. And God couldn't love me because what I did yesterday. The reality is that the Bible says in 1 John that He's faithful and just, and I like this, to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. What's that mean? that my sin that's been asked, when I've asked for forgiveness for it, no longer stains me whatsoever. So my acceptance into the kingdom of God and into His presence is predicated on the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. I don't know about you, but for me, that's good news. For me, that's shouting ground. For me, that's, just too good to be true, but I'm going to believe it and have it operate in my life. There are many things in the Bible that seem too good to be true, and so we don't walk in the fullness of it because we don't believe that it could really be for me. And we have to get that kind of thinking out of our heads. We got to get that thinking away from us, because the reality is God loves me and He's accepted me. I don't have to try to get closer to God because I'm in the beloved right now because of what Jesus did. I'm telling you, that's just an awesome statement. But watch this. Oftentimes we do things like, and I understand the sentiment behind it, but it's like Holy Ghost fall. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit's scratching his head, excuse me, but I'm already in you. So I don't need to fall. What you need to do is be more sensitive to what I'm saying. And I'll operate through you all the days of your life. And your life will be an adventure in the Holy Spirit. And it's all predicated on the fact that you've been accepted by the beloved. I mean, in the beloved, you are absolutely included in all of God's blessings. Look at Psalm 60, the 60th Psalm. Psalm 60. There's so many verses, and when you read them, when you think about them, even in the Psalms and places in the Word where it talks about the righteous, you've got to say, it's not my righteousness that makes me righteous. It's His righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to live right. We should. And if we don't live right, there's consequences that happen, but it doesn't exclude us from the beloved if we'll operate in faith toward it. Psalm 60, and look at verse 5. It says, let's start in verse 4. It says, "You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that your beloved may be delivered, saved with your right hand, and hear me." So if you're in the beloved, then you're a candidate to be delivered. Delivered from what? Whatever's troubling you. Whatever's ailing you, whatever is causing you to not have peace with God, whatever is causing you to be in turmoil in your mind. See, it's so amazing that God wants you to know that you've been accepted. And if you're part of the beloved, then He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from whatever it is that has you bound. Glory to God. And I'm talking about, I need to be delivered of drugs, or I need alcohol or pornography. And yes, He'll deliver you of all of those things. But I think He'll even deliver us of wrong attitudes. He'll deliver us of prejudices. He'll deliver us from all of the things that we used to, do to get along. Come on. I've watched it over the years through different people who were very angry, bitter people when they got saved. But after being in the Word and walking it out, all of a sudden they get it's just an absolute metamorphosis that happens in them, and all of a sudden they're not acting at people angry anymore. And people come up to them, how did that, what happened to you? Jesus happened to me. I've been accepted in the beloved, and it's changed me from the inside out. Isn't that cool? Here's the cool thing about And the difference really, I think, there are many differences, but one of the differences between Christianity and other religions, when the founder of Christianity, God Himself, and then His Son, Jesus Christ, did the work, all our need to do is to believe that that work was for us. And then it takes away all of the doing on our part in order to become what He's already made us to be. That is so crazy. I don't have to be perfect in order to be loved. I just need to believe that I'm in the Beloved and that I've been accepted. God has accepted me. Come on. That is so good. It's so good. I'm accepted. I'm a part of the Beloved. Look at Psalm 108. And verse 6. And just, actually, let's start in verse 5. We could just start at the beginning, but let's not. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your Beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand. And hear me. Come on. God hears us because we're His Beloved. God saves us. And that's not just salvation going to heaven, but that means deliverance. That means He meets our needs. That means He loves us. That means He'll comfort us. That all of those things, because we've been accepted, we're part of the inner circle because we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I'm excited about the fact that God loves me just the way I am. That's so good. So good. Look at 127, Psalm 127. We'll look at another verse. Verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor build it, labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to eat bread of sorrows, for He gives His Beloved sleep. It's almost like, does that fit in here? Absolutely it does. When all the chaos is going all the way around us, and we're trying our best to build something for God, even building our lives for God, God, I just want to please You, I just want to please You, I just want to please You, in our own efforts, that doesn't work. But when we can rest in the fact that we're His Beloved, we can sleep. I've known people who've taken this particular verse and just that He gives His Beloved sleep, and they've had trouble sleeping. They, you know, up all night thinking about things, the brains don't shut off and all of those things. But they've taken this verse and just quoted it over themselves and over themselves and over themselves, and their whole sleep pattern has changed. Because they're part of the Beloved, and if I'm part of the Beloved, and He gives us sleep, why am I awake at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? You know, I can absolutely take His promise and by faith begin to see myself in it. I love the verse that says that we need to set our minds on Him, right? He'll keep those who in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. I listened to a fellow years ago, his name, Dr. Jim Richards, and he talked about that word mind. He said in the Hebrew, there's absolutely no word for mind. He said, actually, the translation that would be better suited for this verse is He keeps him in perfect peace whose imagination stays active with God. What does that mean? Just looking at your situation and say, now what if God was really involved in this? And you start thinking about God in the situation. You place yourself in the situation and let God be in the middle of it, and it changes the whole perspective. Right? this bill that I have, if God were in part of that bill, if God were responsible for part of that bill, why am I worried about it? Why am I staying up at night worrying about it? Why am I worrying when He's promised me perfect peace? The reality is that our minds need to be tamed. Our minds need to be trained by what the promises of God are and enforce those rather than let those dictate to us how we feel. And so I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm not rejected. I'm not abandoned. Come on. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. My feelings have nothing to do with the fact that I'm not abandoned. His promise is what makes that reality true. Somebody said this, and I'll get this a little bit wrong in the quote, but it said, your feelings, what you're feeling right now, is a process of your thoughts. It's not your thoughts are a process of your feeling. So if you change the way you're thinking, your feelings will change. And that comes, again, by meditating in the Word of God, by quoting the Word of God, by putting the Word of God into your heart and say, no, Lord, this is how I feel, but this is what I think. And I'm going to continue to think and meditate on that until you make it, you know, clear to me, and I get my mind washed to the place where this is my reality. This, you know, there's a term that's going around because of all of the virus stuff and everything. This is the new norm. The only new norm I want is a renewed mind to what God says. That's what I want for my new norm. Right? I value people. I value people's opinion. But where their opinion doesn't line up with the Word of God, I've got to throw that out because that's not my norm. My norm is the Word. And the Word will always lead me back to being part of the Beloved. I'm beloved. And He gives His beloved sleep. Isn't that good? That's just so awesome. Go with me to 3 John. 3 John. It's after 1 and 2 John. It's before Revelation. Third John and verse 2. Now I realize that this is John speaking to a group of people, but listen to what he calls them. He says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, he's saying beloved from his bowels of compassion and heart and relationship with these people. But I believe also that he's saying you're a people that are beloved of God. And so that God's desire for you is that you'd prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, I know there's people who take prosperity way out to its limits. But really, here's the definition of prosperity that I want you to get into your heart. Having your needs so sufficiently supplied that when God puts it on your heart to help somebody else, you can. God wants you to grow in that. Why? Because I can help somebody maybe with a $100 light bill, but I can't buy them a new car because I haven't come to that level yet. But what if God would want me to do that? Well, then He'd bring me to that level. But watch this. Again, He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, circle that, all things. I want you to be able to prosper. I want you to be full in everything that you do. Why? Because you're beloved. You're part of His family. You're part of His inheritance. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're ambassadors for Christ through Jesus. And He wants you, You know, He wants your mind to be functioning at a higher level than it ever has functioned. How? By His Spirit speaking to your mind and bringing thoughts to you that you've never, never even came up with. Over and over again, He says, I wish that you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Why? Because you're part of His beloved. He wants you to know it. He wants you to operate in it. He wants you to feel confident in that love. Isn't that cool? That's just so awesome. That's available to us tonight. Right? Tonight. Those that are here in this building, but also those that are watching, on the internet live stream or watching it later. Glory to God. Hey, I just thinking about that. If you're watching it, maybe you're watching it on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. It just helps us in being able to do some things with the broadcast that will just help us. So if you're here and you haven't subscribed or you're watching it, go to YouTube to our page and just subscribe to it. It will help us. That would be a blessing. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. Glory to God. Now, it's so awesome, but he wants us to prosper because we are in the beloved. And look at this, and be in health just as your soul prospers. God wants your soul to prosper. He wants your mind to prosper because you're in the beloved. I can remember going back to school after I hadn't been in school for several years. And I thought, oh boy, I haven't picked up a book. I haven't studied. I haven't taken a test for years. And yet I went back to Bible school. But I'd read that the Holy Spirit, I took this verse, the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to remembrance at the time that I need it. And so I made that my verse. I said, I'll study, I'll do my part, but when the test comes, I just believe you'll bring back to remembrance. Come on. And he did. It was amazing. And I worked full-time, went to school full-time, dated Renita full-time. And so all of those things were happening at the same time, but God was with me in school because He wanted my soul to prosper in the things of God. And it's so, so great. And I've actually used that particular principle. There's a lady, she's such an awesome testimony of God, but she graduated with her AA degree in chemical dependency counseling when she was 70 years old. But when she first started, she was going, Pastor, this is tough. And I took these verses that I'm just telling you now, that the Holy Spirit will help you to prosper because of your position in Him. And just go over this and over this and over this. And she put that into her heart, and it allowed her, now watch this, it allowed her to get her AA degree. She went on and she got her bachelor's degree. She was 70 when she got her AA degree. I don't know, she's probably like 74 when she got her bachelor's degree. And she's thinking about doing her master's degree. And she's a little bit older than that now. So what I'm saying is, it's not too late for any of us. And we should not allow our brains and everything to fall away. We have to come back to God and say, God, I'm part of your beloved. And I thank you that you're allowing my soul to live in a prospered state. A state that is constantly building level by level, by my faith and by your action in, praise God, He gives His beloved sleep. He wants His beloved to prosper. He wants our souls to prosper. He'll deliver us. He'll protect us. Glory to God. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start closing in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you in the beloved? I hope you said yes really loud. Yes, I'm in the Beloved because of what Jesus did for me. Now watch, we stopped in verse 6 and we're going to read that again. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and all prudence. We have redemption in Him. Our acceptance is because of His redemption. You may have heard this before. You may have never heard it. But really what redemption means is He bought back that which was lost or that which was taken away or that which was sold away. He bought back. So God bought you back from the enemy who stole you and brought you back into His kingdom. You're beloved by God, and the price that was paid was the precious blood of Jesus. And so for us to have a thought that the enemy would put on us that we're less than what God has paid the price for is actually a slap in the face to who God made us to be. And I know you wouldn't do that normally, but the enemy would try to lie to us and tell us that we're not good enough, that we can't do it, that we'll never get ahead, that we'll never prosper, that we'll never get over this, that there's no way to victory. But the Bible says that He always causes us or leads us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So even when the world is going haywire, we can trust that God will be with us. You know, what are we going to do when the world begins to persecute the church like it talks about in the book of Revelation? I never thought 20 years ago that the persecution on the church could even come to America. But if you're aware of what's happening, it's here and it's going to become worse unless we pray it through and pray it out, and that's what I think our job is. Glory to God. But even if that happened, if I know that God is with me, if I know that I'm accepted in the Beloved, what in the world can man do to me when I know that I'm loved? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something out of this because I'm preaching me happy. Hallelujah. I'm accepted. I'm alive and well because the Spirit lives within me. Glory to God. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm going to say that just a little bit differently. Who is able to take you out of the Beloved? Who's able to do that? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter? Listen, and some go, yeah, that's me, boy. I'm just having a rough time. I'm just, you know, everything's always bleak, every bad. Now listen, you got to go on to what the next verse says. It says, even when we're in these situations, the next verse, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Because we're in the Beloved, we're considered conquerors. You know what a conqueror is? A conqueror is one that comes in and he kicks butt and takes name and establishes the land. Paul's saying here that you are more than a conqueror. That's so awesome. Are you? It all is determined by whether you really feel like that you're in the Beloved, that God is with you. It says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can take you out of being part of the beloved, because you've been accepted by God. You've been accepted in the beloved. So now, how does that relate to others? When you get an awareness of just how much God loves you and has accepted you, and you begin to recognize, hey, I've got a purpose. My purpose may not be the same as somebody else's, but God loves me so much, He wants to use me. I have a purpose. And watch this. God believes the best for me. Then I can look at others and say, you know what? Just like God wants me to have that, He wants them to have it. But just as it's been a process for me to continue to grow to the place where He's put me, I have to cut other people slack and allow them to grow. But not just allow them to grow, believe that they can. The Amplified Version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that love believes the best of every person. I've tried to make that my life's motto. So if you're in the church, if you're in the midst, if you're just watching, I believe God's best for you. I believe He's got more for you than you could even imagine, even think. But you've got to come to the place where you're accepted. And when you're accepted, then you can look at others and go, you know what, I got to tell you, God's got great things for you. Because He's already done the work that you belong in the inner circle. He'll visit with you. He'll talk with you. He'll help you. He'll provide for you. He'll deliver you. He will be with you when everybody else fades away. Why? Because He wants to. That's what grace is all about. I'm His favorite because I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is His beloved Son in whom He's well pleased. So when God looks at me, He looks at me, He looks at you through Jesus. So just as Jesus is beloved, so are you. So am I. Isn't that awesome? Let me pray for you right now. And maybe you've never really understood how much God loves you or how much you're accepted in Him if you've given your heart to Him. And you've allowed other things to take over, and you've not allowed His acceptance to help you reject anything but Him. Well, that can change in your heart if you just speak to God. Just talk to Him and say, Lord, I messed up. I missed it. I didn't see it before. But tonight, I just want to feel Your acceptance. So I'm going to pray for you right now. I feel the anointing on me right now. I feel His presence here right now. I believe He wants to touch you right now. So just close your eyes. Maybe put your hand over your heart or something. And just let me pray for you. Father, I thank You that even through the technology, God, that You're touching many people as I'm speaking this. And Father, I thank You that rejection has no hold on those that are beloved. So I command rejection to be gone. Lord, I thank You for touching hearts tonight. And Father, that people would come to a knowledge of Your love for them in a new and powerful way. If there's somebody who doesn't know You, Lord, that's listening on this live stream, all you have to do is call out to Him. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, take me. Romans says that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. What does that mean? For tonight, what that means is you'll be accepted in His beloved. So just make that step. Just do that. If you've been away from God, just come back. It's simple. It's simple, but you got to do it with all your heart, and God will touch you there. I want to thank you for listening to us tonight. Be blessed. Jesus is Lord. Have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.